Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome once again to the Moore and Connolly Football Show, the podcast that gives you your fix of the NFL with a little alley je ne sais quoi. Big shout out as always to the Gridiron family, of which we are proud to call ourselves a part. My name is Tom Moore, talking nonsense since 1986, and joining me, as always, is the godfather of the family. It's Ollie Connolly. Ollie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm not bad, buddy. You've been ill this week with some kind of mystery illness. Do you know what it is? Have you identified it?
I have not yet identified it. I do know that my brain no longer works. My brain is, I think, the official definition would be mush, and has been that way since probably Monday. And I put that down to probably working 20 hours a day for 8 weeks and then traveling to London with 90,000 humans was probably not best for the old system.
And I saw you down in London. We had a quick meetup outside the very fancy looking media center there at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, my friend, with the scanners and everything and people going through. And you did seem a little bit, you were a bit tired, Ollie, but it was delightful to see you once again, my friend.
With Gray, we had a nice embrace, I think multiple, if memory serves. My brain is not mush. And I put that look down to McQuaid for taking me out on Thursday night. Will Gavin, also on this network, taking me out Thursday night and Saturday night. By that Sunday, tired. I was tired by the time the game rolled around.
We will talk a little bit Packers later, Ollie. Believe you me, we're going to talk about that. But just so everyone knows the lowdown for today's show, we're going to hit you with the NFL headlines. And these are the headlines we think we're going to see next week on Tuesday after this slate of NFL games. Then we're going to go to this week's game show, which I'm looking forward to this one, Ollie, is Tenable. And Tenable is the game show where there's a list of a top 10 and you got to name everything in the top 10. I think it's a great format, Ollie. Are you ready for that one?
Yeah. Is it some kind of concertinaing? Do you have to kind of go up the steps? Do you just get the 10?
No, you can pick any order you want. You just have to, they have to be in the top 10. But what we'll do is we'll work between us as a team. And that's what happens in Tenable on the final round. The team to win the big prize. You do one, I do one, you do one, I do one. See if we can get all 10. And then we will finish with listeners' questions. And we've got some crackers, including a submitted voice recorded question, Ollie, which I'm really looking forward to.
That sounds great. I also have to announce later a new competition prize. That we will start doing for the game show. So there's a little tease. If you fancy being in the running for winning something, I will not announce it yet. Hang around until the competition portion of proceedings and there'll be prizes afoot.
So I didn't even know about this. Now I'm intrigued.
Thought of it 12 seconds ago. So.
I love it, Ollie. That's the way we roll, ladies and gentlemen. This show is prepared, but only to a certain degree. You can find Ollie on Twitter at Ollie Connolly. You can find me at @the_Tommy_Moore. Try to make things complicated for you there. And of course, you can find Gridiron on Twitter as well. So now, Ollie, before we get into the bulk of the show and into those headlines, as usual, I think it's time for me to hit you with a little bit of story time with Tom again.
Always. Now, do these come from your rendezvous in London?
No, this did not. My London trip was absolutely fantastic. Went down there with my dad, my uncle, my two cousins, younger cousins, and it was a fantastic trip. And we had a really great time there watching the Packers, even though they lost it. Because the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Ollie, it really is something special, isn't it?
It really is. And I have to say, you know, I don't go to a lot of those London games because I'm doing other work around different games. Everything I do is usually being around working for US media companies. So I don't usually have the capacity to go and just do the London game, which is kind of a bizarre situation. But I've been to a few and I know everyone said by now that the crowd was unbelievable and that stuff. I actually found it borderline emotional when Aaron Rodgers came out the tunnel The wall of noise there was completely unusual for anyone who's been lucky enough to go to a big time college football game. It sounded like a college football game. It did not sound like any of the NFL games. I've been to big games at Foxborough for the Patriots. That's not how NFL games sound. That has a similar roar to kind of like, I don't know, a championship club scoring a goal, or like I said, a big time college game on third down. It was kind of a wall of noise. And I know the stadium helps with that, but it was also raw intensity, which I think was helped by the fact that the Packers fans had come over in such large numbers to London for the game. And you've been to Lambeau, Tom. Lambeau is not famously loud. That's not what it's about. It's about like history and elegance and the love of community. It's not always like a vociferous, angry, like, you know, Alabama Auburn crowd. But there was this just major wall of noise, particularly when Rodgers came out of the tunnel. I found it quite emotional.
It was. I mean, I was emotional, obviously, even though I have seen him play before. And as a Packers fan, obviously, it's probably the last opportunity, realistically, because we're not going to go over to Green Bay again anytime soon, to see Rodgers play. Now, and interestingly, in the noise, Ollie, I am deaf in my right ear, almost totally due to a tumour that turned up in my ear, and it's still there, and it's still growing, which is slightly annoying, but don't worry, I'm okay, guys. But essentially, it's left me with a tinnitus, and therefore really, really sensitive to very loud stadium noise, for example. And in Tottenham, it really got to me. So I wore an earplug, and it shows you the noise was incredible. When I was in Green Bay, I remember that it was loud, but it wasn't nowhere near as loud as it was at the Tottenham Stadium at the weekend. All I remember is one guy. It was the year that AJ Hawk was just like out of his mind towards the end of his career. I think it was the season
was
as well
the Al Jazeera year. Was that year?
Maybe, I don't know. I think it was around the time Clay Matthews shifted inside. I can't remember, Ollie, but all I remember is just hearing this one guy repeatedly saying, "Come on, AJ Hawk, show up this year." He just kept saying it over and over again. And that was quite amusing. Anyway, I think that was the first time I went to Lambeau. It was the Scott Tolzien tie with the Vikings where Rodgers did his collarbone. Yeah. That was the first time at Lambeau. And Scott Tolzien scored like a touchdown run from about 7 yards out. We put a spin move on one of the Minnesota defenders. It was something to behold. Anyway, shall I return to story time with Tom?
Please, yes.
Okay, story time with Tom. Interestingly, American themed as well, because this is about guns, but just bear with me, Ollie, because it's actually quite an interesting story. So for my birthday this year, we've got some very close friends of ours, and they bought me a voucher to go clay pigeon shooting.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Exactly. Now, what was interesting is the male in that marriage had received a similar voucher from another set of friends. It was like a chain of people being given vouchers to go and shoot some clays. Anyway, so we said, well, why don't we go together? So we took the trip. We live in Nottingham. So we drove out. It was out Leicestershire somewhere, where you can still get gun license, apparently, in Leicestershire. Strange that you can't do that in Nottinghamshire. May have something to do with the reputation that the county has for gun crime. But anyway, we'll move on from there, Ollie. But so we went out and we went clay pigeon shooting. And the coach we had, the kind of guy who guided us through and gave us advice, he was in his 70s, Ollie, but he was fantastic. He'd line you up. He'd say, "This is what you need to do, my boy. This is what you need to do, my boy." And he was absolutely brilliant. And out of 25 clays, I hit 16, which I thought was pretty good.
Very impressive.
But what was interesting is we were going between kind of posts where you have a little hut and where there's different setups in terms of releasing the clays. And in between that, we were chatting with this guy and we were just saying, it's so peaceful. It's so relaxing in terms of, and we were shooting guns, which made quite a racket, you know, and we had the ear defenders on, etc. But it was so bizarre. And I thought, maybe I should take this up as a hobby. I thought, really? Because I'm very anti-guns. Anyway, but then as
this is a gentlemanly shooting.
Oh, yeah. But this is where it's really interesting. As we were driving home, I said to Yosef, I said, he's Greek. So it's Yosef. My wife is Greek. Obviously, these are Greek friends of ours. I said, that's very interesting. I wonder, you know, what age people get into it if they end up in the Olympics, you know? And he said, yeah, no, that's a good, but I'll have a look. So he looked on the website.
You bring you, Yosef.
No, it's right. This is where it gets weird. But also it challenged my conceptions of the shooting as a sport. Anyway, so he looked up and said, hey, Tom, there's kids parties on this at clay pigeon shooting. And basically kids as young as 8 will go shooting. And at this party, you get so many shells, as they're called, per child. And then you get cake and ice cream too, and a drink. And I was just thinking, is that weird? Or is that actually just completely fine? And then I thought, do I want to take my eldest to go shooting when he's old enough? I think he'd actually really enjoy that. Ollie, just so many questions in my mind.
Have you now booked it? Now you're talking to someone who grew up in Cheshire. Believe it or not, I went to a young birthday party at a clay pigeon shooting place. Yes, one of my best friends growing up owned the clay pigeon shooting place. So it was a regular Sunday stroll occurrence for me to just go and get 50 off. That's just what you would do. Now, what I think everyone is wondering right now is, what did your pull sound like?
What do you mean, my pull? What does it sound like?
When you shout your pull, everyone has their own little way of doing it.
You gonna
tell me, was this like going off the close tees in golf? Was the adult shouting pull for you, or were you doing your own pull?
No, the 70-year-old was going, are you ready? And then he goes, here it comes. And then he did that. So I'd appreciate it. But when he was showing us, similarly, he would say pull and we would do it. Now, immediately, if the way I would sound is, do you ever see the Naked Gun film where Leslie Nielsen is in the baseball scene?
Of course.
Now, you know when he's calling a ball and he kind of goes, oh. I'd do it in a Leslie Nielsen style. So I'd call it and I'd go, oh.
I like that because the guy might be a bit slow on the draw and you might buy yourself an extra second. That's quite good.
Exactly. How did you call your pull?
Pop.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I love it, Ollie. It's fantastic. I got to watch that Naked Gun film now. That still remains one of the best sequences, that baseball part of the original Naked Gun film that I've ever seen, Ollie. You know what, my friend? We've talked for nonsense for long enough. Let's get to the headlines. So, headlines for next week. This is the news before the news, and Ollie and I are going to throw down some headlines. So, to start off, Ollie, I think I've got to address the Green Bay Packers. I said we would talk about him. So this is my headline for next week that you are going to see. Jet plane to oblivion. The fall from grace continues for the Packers, who get humbled at home to the New York Jets. And questions abound, Oliver. Is Rodgers on the decline? Because between you and me, when I was there at Tottenham at the weekend, watching it in person, I appreciate there is a subtlety around the development that you go through with wide receivers, timing, etc. He's played with Alan Lazard for a long time, Ollie, and he was missing him by 5-7 yards. It wasn't in the same ballpark. I am concerned that this is not the Aaron Rodgers we know.
There's a real weird thing going on here with him, and I don't want to get too deep in the scheme because that's not what our show is about here, but there's a real duality going on of the quarterback he wants to be and the quarterback that he is. And we've seen this with him right at the nadir of the McCarthy days, right? It was the worst part of this where he wanted to play hero ball and they devise an entire ecosystem to try and placate the hero ballness, and it became just a bogged down mess. And what they have now is they don't trust any of those guys to win one-on-one consistently, which, by the way, they do win sometimes and he just misses them. He missed throws in that limit.
Oh, yeah.
You should have hit deep down the field. When he's just playing on time within the rhythm of the offense and he's spraying it around and he's hitting the drop and he's gripping and ripping it, he is the best quarterback in football at getting the ball and getting rid of it quickly. He's just the best of it. He's more accurate than everyone else. He gets rid of the ball quicker than everyone else. But he knows he can do the tap dancing stuff, right? And make three of the most special plays you've ever seen in your life within one quarter. And that's the stuff he wants to do. But this offense functions better when he's reading and going. And the last 2 years when he won back-to-back MVPs, everything they did was really predetermined. They had a number of RPOs, but they were mostly box count RPOs where he's got three plays, he's reading it before the snap and pick which ones he wants to do. There was less of the reading a player as you go, or what's the fashion in the NFL now, is there's three breakpoints in the route. You kind of read the depth of the corner, you read the leverage and you attack grass. That's kind of what it is. The Rams do this, the Niners do this. It's kind of get those guys downfield, let them go find space, and you read out together and just try and throw the ball to where they're open. It's less timing based in terms of the drop back game. They have put way more of that into the structure now, and it's pretty evident because how many balls now are thrown where he's throwing it to a landmark and there's no one there and he's got his arm. This happening more and more because they are trying to play a style system which is, we don't trust these guys to be where they're supposed to be. either in terms of just being open or understanding the offense. So we're going to now have to wait, because we've got the special guy anyway. Let's just wait, get an extra couple of beats in the offense, and he can just see it and fire. I just don't think that works that well for him. I know he can do it. Yeah, like I said, he's special. He wants to play hero ball because he's one of the best hero ball players to ever play in the NFL, right? But I just think he's always been better when it's hit the back foot, get the ball out.
And 100%.
That discord between those two styles is pretty frustrating. It's more similar to me, I think, the first year of LaFleur, when he didn't seem to quite trust all of like the movement and all the cool stuff that LaFleur was trying to do. And it's like, please let me do this for you. And when he did trust it, obviously he won back-to-back MVP. So I think it's way more of a mental situation than it is the physical stuff.
No, I completely agree, Ollie. And for me, it's very interesting because what I keep hearing and I've been hearing this week is it's all about to come together and someone's going to be on the end of a hiding. I'm sorry. I've seen that in previous years. I've seen it and I thought, if we just put it together, and I appreciate the obvious thing with the Packers this season is they've shown up in one half and not in another. But I'm sorry, I do not buy it. That is a symptom of the fact that it is an inconsistent way they're playing on offense and it's not sustainable. And I don't suddenly feel like it's going to click and they're going to actually absolutely blow the doors off someone. Ollie, let's leave the Packers there because honestly, I could talk about them for ages, but you have an interesting wrinkle related to the publication that we all love, the Gridiron magazine. I want you to hit me with this because it's time for a conspiracy theory, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, this did not dawn on me until Mike told me about this in the pre-show, that we are at the very early, which I think is quite interesting, burgeoning stages of what could be a Gridiron curse. We are talking Madden curse levels of stuff here, and I believe that didn't Sports Illustrated have like 30 years of this in baseball? I think they had when they would do their big baseball preview. They would not just get it wrong. I think it would be like catastrophically wrong. And like the team would almost fold every season. Then obviously the Madden curse was the infamous one. Brady broke the Madden curse, correct?
I think so, right? Yeah.
He did the first year in Tampa because he's Brady. It's not fair. So as one would suspect, right? So we have the gridiron curse now where Tom Brady was on the front cover of the annual. Of all the years to back the Tom Brady horse is the year that his life seems to be falling apart off the field. Yeah. It's not going so well on the field. The first cover of the season of the magazine proper was Trey Lance, titled The Year of Trey Lance Starts Now. You know,
mm-hmm.
Not great.
And it does not start now.
Yeah, nope. Yep. Wait till next year, maybe. And then the most recent one was designed, obviously, around the London game. And was the Packers are coming, all shiny, happy Packers, aren't we going to be good? No,
you're not. Mm-hmm. You know, do not pass go. Do not collect £200, Trey Lance. Dude, I miss playing Monopoly, man. I haven't played that in years.
My girlfriend plays it every other night on the iPad version, and she gets very frustrated with these people in far-flung parts of the world who make moves that she thinks should not be allowed.
Right, you got to hook us up. I think that's quite a good actually evening activity for me after the kids have gone to bed. Ollie, let's fire through some more headlines. What's your first one? Because we've got some big games this weekend.
Okay, I've got Jalen puts the hurt on Cowboys.
Oh, that's cold, son.
So we did this exercise, I think, 2 weeks ago, where we just went through the Eagles schedule and we're just doing win, 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 loss. And this was one of the ones where you thought maybe that could be a bit of a speed bump. Obviously, the Dak situation at the time hadn't fully unfolded. It looks like Dak is not going to play in this game. It seems like Cooper Rush is going to play. So if you say the Eagles win this game, you are really looking at it is only until week 12 when they would start to maybe have a hiccup in their step and say that's a problematic one. And that's the Packers. And as we just even that one might be like, hey man, we could just steamroll through that thing. So I mean, their schedule is horrendous in terms they have like the 30th strength of schedule in the league. They have the best team in the league. It's unfair.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see this because I feel like the Giants, I feel like the Cowboys need a little bit of breakers putting on all their Jerry Jones, you know. Oh, yeah, Cooper Rush is in there and we're going to, oh, go boys. You know, I'm sick of it, Ollie. They need slapping down. I mean, the NFC East in general is something that I detest. But sorry, NFC East fans, I don't care, Ollie. But yeah, can we just, yeah, I'd rather it be the Eagles than the Cowboys that take it forward.
Yeah, and the Cowboys' only real shot in this game is that they just have a complete freak show display from their defense, which is a really, really good unit, one of the best in the NFL. They have Micah Parsons, obviously. They've got DeMarcus Lawrence. They've got two of the I don't know, six or seven best pass rushers walking the earth. Let's not go through all of them now, shall we? But they're in that region and they have takeover game levels of dominance. But the issue is that the Eagles have the best offensive line in football. I guess it depends. Jordan Mailata, the left tackle, looks like he's going to play but might not play. And that would be a pretty steep decline for the Eagles, that they have also the best backup line in the league, which is very helpful. They might actually be, if all those backups played, they probably wouldn't be the worst starting line in the NFL, which is insane. Salary cap sport. But the left tackle spot is the one where they have the steepest drop off from the starter to the backup. So that would be a slight concern. And maybe you get a frazzled Hurts game and you get three turnovers and all of a sudden the Cowboys, you know, it becomes a three drive second half essentially, and they're able to get over the line. But I just think that the Eagles are so complete, both sides of the ball, genuinely best offense in the NFL, I think, by decent distance in every factor. And then defensively, as good as anyone else.
Frazzled Hurts, and now you've made me think of Frazzles, which were a very underrated yes. crisp. Now, did you ever go to pubs, and they were kind of like bacon Frazzles, but they were the thinner ones that were like completely dense with flavor. Like they were made by the same company that made Scampi fries. Ooh. And they were bacon something. They literally looked like a bacon rasher. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Anyway.
Sizzling bacon, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? Anyway, they were out of this world. I remember playing football, going back to the clubhouse, having a couple of packets of those. Good times, great oldies, Gem AM. Ollie, my next... I have got off piste. My next headline, here we go. And then we record this on a Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. So this one, well... Who knows? But this is just how I feel right now. Numbers don't lie. Washington at Chicago pulls the worst numbers for a TNF game in history, and no one even remembers the score. Ollie, are you looking forward to this game?
Am I looking forward to this game? No. The most intriguing part of the game for me is whether or not Amazon mentions the report that came out today around Daniel Snyder and the infighting with the other owners. An all-time, I don't know, Michael Scott level line in that piece for ESPN by, I believe it was Seth Wickersham, and I am blanking on who else because I'm getting COVID brain. There was two other people on the story.
The Dementors. The Dementors were coming. Like in Harry Potter. No, not like in Harry Potter. Sorry.
I believe Daniel Snyder, or someone, not Daniel Snyder, but someone closely associated with Daniel Snyder said that Daniel basically says the NFL is a mafiosa family and they all the owners hate each other. And in reply to this, someone closely connected with one of the other owners says, no, everyone just hates Daniel. Which is a wonderful, wonderful line.
Ooh, so he's Lord Snydermort then, potentially.
That's correct. So... I'm just interested to see whether the NFL, you know, Amazon has no journalistic responsibility the way any other network that covers the league does. They are a rights holder with the league now, and you have all these interesting power dynamics of Amazon is the only broadcaster of the NFL in the world who doesn't need the NFL more than the NFL needs them. Right, they are a bigger company than the NFL. Everyone else, NBC, ESPN, all the other rights holders who are in bed with the league and therefore are compromised by the league, need the NFL or their entire business model falls apart. Amazon is like 1% of the balance sheet, if that. It's a luxury vanity project for Amazon. So, and yet they don't have any journalism arms, so maybe they won't mention it. So that is more fascinating. I guess by the time this goes out, people will know whether they mentioned it or not. That's the only thing I think that is intriguing about the game. And as you said, with all the old people who seem to be struggling to find Thursday Night Football now that it's streaming, this game is not the game that's going to get you to your TV set.
All the power and all the responsibility, Amazon. Good times. Ollie, let's move to your next headline and another big game, my friend. And I think everybody's looking forward to this one.
Mahomes VP.
Really? Yeah, well, what? It's like that's far-fetched. Go on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to find a way to get us to discuss Chiefs-Bills. It's the game of the season. It's the most exciting matchup possible. It's become, obviously, this wonderful on-the-field rivalry where it really does feel like we're going to have a Brady Manning-esque 15-year. Yep. These guys going back and forth together, all different iterations and cycles of the team. And I'm just interested to see... One, the aesthetics, what it looks like, because they're trying different things this season, the two of them. And then obviously just who comes out on top, and then whether it has any bearing moving forward. You remember last year, the Bills kind of clubbed the Chiefs for a large portion of the game in Arrowhead, and then we had the mental, no one can get a stop game, obviously in the championship game. So it's just, this is as good as football gets, right? You've got probably the two best quarterbacks in the league going, not quite head-to-head, but kind of head-to-head, because none of these defenses can get stops against one another.
Completely, mate. And Josh Allen, you know, I always used to say about Aaron Rodgers, I've never seen someone throw a ball like that. I've never seen someone throw a ball so clean, just so perfect, on point, and with velocity when it was needed and with touch when it was needed. You know, I appreciate there's a hell of a lot of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL have thrown the ball very well. Hey, it's their job. I've never seen a ball leap out of someone's hand the way it does out of Josh Allen's. And it's scary, Ollie.
Yeah, and we always, or we, the football commentariat always talk about the Mahomes no look.
There's right? That word again, commentariat, sorry.
Yeah, and you know what it is this time, right?
Every time you say that, Mike, we should be putting a ding into commentariat. Ding! Anyway,
actually, when I say it that way, it sounds vaguely close to some kind of like Soviet council. Like the
it really
council.
Does. They're out there wearing CCCP on their shirts, commentating on the NFL. Go on.
It is regularly discussed on the interwebs about Mahomes' no-look pass, right? That he's looking one way and he flicks a ball the other way. Josh Allen has this amazing way of just throwing a ball where he clearly does not give a shit where it lands, and yet it just so happens to land in the hand of a streaking receiver 50 yards downfield. The Gabe Davis throw last week against the Steelers, he has no idea where that guy is down the field. His eyes are basically closed. He's got arms all in his head. He's just bombing it down the field, and it ends up being a 98-yard touchdown, whatever it was, because he's Josh Allen.
There you go. Ollie, final headline this week is from me, and it's, well, I think this is a great one, and I hope it happens. No more rules. The Panthers find a new lease of life and pip the stuttering Rams to a 17-14 win. Now, I think this is a little bold, Ollie, and I'm probably doing the Rams a disservice, but they are struggling this year. Oh. And wouldn't it just be interesting if it were the Panthers that take that point forward? And obviously, I've had to be consistent here with my picks on the gridiron that will come out on the gridiron account, you know, so I've had to include this in here. So I may be quite a long way behind my fellow competitors in terms of picks this week, but I just think this is a story, Ollie, that I really would like to see come to fruition.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be, it's always fun when there's a real drama team who just feels like they're self-imploding and it was unforeseen. I don't quite think we're there with the Rams. Maybe you can get a column out about them tomorrow. We'll see. I was planning on writing about the Rams this week, so I've studied them a bunch. It's a really strange one where they are just completely being immolated by their offensive line. It's just the worst group in the league by some distance, averaging 16 points a game with that level of firepower. They've got Allen Robinson, who's just been an absolute bust as a free agent signing. Terrible. Looks like he doesn't want to play football. Still, I would say the Panthers front versus Aaron Donald ain't great. No, he's going to start quarterback. Steve Wilks takes the head coaching job or the interim job. Does he go back to Baker Mayfield? Does he keep PJ Walker? That's a tough one. It's a dicey one. But look, if you're averaging 16 points a game and their entire offense is Stafford under fire, get the ball to Cooper Kupp, and every single thing they do, because they base everything out of the run game, they base everything out of turn the back play action, all of that now is out the window. Worst running team in the league. Worst turn-the-back play-action team in the league. They can't do it because every time Stafford tries, as he turns his back, there's three people in his face to say hello. So you take those two things from the equation, you just say, hey, we're going to be basically, we're going to be the 13-14 Lions, right? We're going to play from the gun and let Matthew try and pick people apart. And as much as I love Matthew Stafford, he just isn't that dude anymore. And when he was trying to be that dude, it only worked 2 years when he was out of his mind MVP level good. In one of them, he had Calvin Johnson. In one of them, he did not. The rest of the time, they were missing the playoffs or they were losing. So, I would have deep, deep reservations about the Rams. It seems a long term. This week, I think they still should be better than the Panthers. But if not, that is when trading all those picks and all the fun and games that went into winning one, this becomes the five-alarm fire if they lose to the interim coach Panthers. But as you said, the new manager bounce, it's a real thing. It happens all the time in the NFL, right? The dick leaves the building, everyone rallies around the new head coach. And certainly on defense, if you just play with your hair on fire and they've got a ton of talent on defense, you can make things happen.
It's like the Ian Holloway effect. But you know who I have in my fantasy team this year at quarterback? I've got two quarterbacks. One is Matthew Stafford and the other one is Aaron Rodgers. I believe in neither of them at this point in time. Anyway, there you go. Ollie, it is always a pleasure to talk headlines, particularly when I talk so much crap and then you try and endorse it. So very, very, very appreciative for that. Let's move on. So now we get to our game show. Every week we do a game show. We hope you enjoy it because it gives me the wonderful pleasure each week And I met him for the first time at the weekend in person. And he was a good cuddle, Ollie. He was a good cuddle, you know. He really, he's very warm, like a beanie baby that's been in the microwave. His name is Stereo Mike. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I don't know what to say to that. Thank you so much. Can I just thank the both of you now? Because at the time of recording, you're letting me miss the National TV Awards so my wife can watch it by herself. I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
On Ant and Dec, don't they have COVID as well and they can't make it tonight?
It sounds like everyone's got COVID. It sounds like, I don't even know if Ollie has it or not. I mean, there must be like a sick wave. I don't know what's going on. So
it's endemic, my friend. We won't get into those political opinions and pharmaceutical opinions. It's endemic. Anyway, Mike, what is our game show this week?
Our game show this week is a crap edition of Tenable. Now, granted, gentlemen, that we all have jobs. I'm presuming nobody has the time to watch Tenable during the day.
I genuinely have never heard of this thing.
I've seen it a couple of times. It is actually, when it's topics that you have a mild interest in, it's quite interesting to try and guess the top 10. And often they're in things like you would get in a pub quiz, like what are the top 10 biggest countries in the world by geographic area? And they are the intellectually bent, or even the moderately.
I'm guessing that the joy of the show is 6 or 7 would feel really easy, and you think, "Oh, I got this," because you
and
know,
then it gets hard. Yeah.
You know, 6 or 7 of those are easy, and then you're trying to find Guam, and it's like really hard. I'm guessing
it is tough. And again, it's like one of those quiz shows as well, where basically the prize money round is like bugger all. It's like $2,000 or something. You know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, Mike.
Let's not poo-poo competition prizes, because I was going to announce, as I said before, that we'll
start
some prizes. I think what we should start doing, both when we play against each other. And then if we played together, people who send in questions, because we're always asking for questions, which we'll get to later, should start playing for one of the question people. We can pick them by random, or we can pick them by the quality of the question, which I can leave up to Mike or Tom, and we'll give them a subscription to Gridiron. Why don't we do that?
To the Gridiron magazine?
Yes.
I think that's fantastic. So ladies and gentlemen, you can obviously find, where can we find Gridiron on Twitter, Mike?
At Gridiron, GRIDIRON, or at UK Gridiron on Instagram, or TikTok as well. You can find me bopping along there as well. Please do give us a shout.
Man, I'm straight onto that after this. Please. So therefore, what you need to do, guys, is send us in your questions or your comments or whatever it is, and we will pick someone at random from those each week, and we will play for that person. And that's at mcfquestions@gmail.com. mcfsquestions@gmail.com. The Godfather has spoken. He's willing to give away a subscription. He wouldn't do it for a family member. So you're really, really fortunate, guys. Really fortunate. Now, back to the Big Beanie Baby. Big Beanie Baby, what have we got today? I've got to stop calling you that now, but I had to do it again because I see that it endeared you to me slightly.
Yeah, so Tenable, basically imagine on TV there's a triangle and it's split into 10 different segments, and each time you guess one, it goes dun, 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 and then it stops where you get the right ones. So I have got up to 3 rounds. Now, I am thinking here that if you're working at a team, you might find this difficult. The first round we're going to do here is Super Bowl winning teams in the modern era, so whenever the Super Bowl started, by number. Yep. So you got to get the 10 teams that have won the most.
Not in order.
Not in order, no, just any
not
anywhere,
in order, but you do have to name the 10. So if you want to start off, go for it.
Okay.
You start, Ollie. You go first.
Do you want me to just rip through as many and then we can...
No, one at a time, buddy. That's cool. The way we're playing like together as a team. So you have to do one, then I do one. In the last round on Tenable, basically, they have the team members and they go up one at a time and keep going. And then basically, if they get it wrong, that team member's out. And then the other person has to try and get them all by themselves. So if one of us gets ones wrong, it goes then down to the other person to try and finish it off. So you start, Ollie. I've got a pen. You need a pen. Is that what you're looking for?
I have a pen. I can't find any paper. I'll begin with the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. Let's check this out. What Tom didn't say is, if you don't get this right, you are both getting me a Domino's tomorrow night at 20-6. Okay. All right. Let's see. Dallas Cowboys are number 3 on the list. So you'd have 9 more to go. They've won it 5 times. And they've won it 5 times, a bit like certain football clubs. I think Liverpool have won the Champions League 7 times now.
Cost of living crisis, Domino's. I get you a small Domino's, maybe.
Grand. I mean, it's only £1.50 deliver anyway, so it's all good.
Okay, then I'll go quite obvious. I'll just go Patriots.
Cool. And they are first with 6.
Cowboys, Patriots, Packers.
Green Bay are 6th with 4. By the way, I'm going to give you 3 lives each round, okay? I think that's fair. I think that's more than fair.
Nice, yeah.
I think that's very fair. I think probably actually you should give us each a life, so we're allowed to get one wrong each.
Yeah,
okay. So fair. I'll go Steelers next.
Steelers. Oh, you took my
Steelers
one.
Are second with 6 Super Bowl victories.
Don't say you took my one like we're competing, Ollie. We're on the same team. You go. You should go. Oh, it's a good one. Tom.
Oh, great. Well, great. Think of the pepperoni passion, Ollie. Come on, though.
Yeah. So, Mike, can I ask just a quick? I don't know how the game works on television. Do we know what the cutoff is of Super Bowl titles that reaches into the top 10? Is that a fair question to ask? Would that help maybe inform the listeners playing along at home as much as it would maybe cheat for me?
I think that's a very, very fair question to ask.
I don't think you would get that on the TV show, but I think you should give us that mic. This version of the show.
Then I can start plotting eras in my head and figure it out.
Yeah, certainly. It stops at 2, but there is a...
I thought it would.
Cool. So, Broncos.
The Broncos, I will take that and I will say the Broncos are 7th with 3 titles. Well done.
So if it stops at 2, so there's nobody with 2 who's not on the list. That's what you're saying.
There is a team that's tied for 2 wins.
So we can have either with
any of the
you can use either of.
Okay, so Tampa Bay.
They've won it twice. Fair enough. They're not on my list, but they're like the same. They're 2. So I've got like a load of teams that have won 2. Tampa Bay's fine.
Now this one gets difficult to try and figure out how they won it. The Washington franchise won it. With Joe Gibbs 3 times. I don't want to say the racial slur on air, and I don't know if that is folded into commander law. I don't think it should be personally. The commander should be a separate entity. The Washington racial slurs, I believe, won 3 Super Bowl titles.
They did, and they're 9th. Well done. You now have got 1. You've got 3 more to find.
Okay.
And I will give you a very quick clue. They've either won 4 or 3 titles.
Hang on. It's my turn, isn't it, Ollie? Well, what were you about to say? You just went.
Did we get the Niners?
Well, hang on. You give me a chance, mate.
Oh, sorry. There's one that's won more than that. There, that team may be there. So if somebody wants to maybe say that team,
okay.
I only said that because I broke my brain. I'm like, I'm sure they won a lot of Super Bowls. How bad is my brain gone?
Hey, Mike, how about the San Francisco 49ers?
You know what, Tom? That's a really, really good answer. Well done. Yes, they've won it 5 times. And that's my Ollie saw my brain fog cover. That's my brain fog moment. So
so how many have we got left?
Two more to get.
Right, okay.
If the team moves city, it's the franchise, right?
Mm. Yep. Take a shot.
Raiders.
Yeah. Boom. They've won 3 times. Still haven't won it in Vegas. Be lucky to win more than 2 games this year, the way it's going. You've one more team to name.
Okay. I this is where I could lose a life, Ollie.
I think I know it.
Is it the... I don't think it is, actually. I don't think it's them either. I'm going through names. I'm thinking Chiefs, Saints, Seahawks, only won one.
Think about modern winners and then think... In folklore, did they win one? And you know someone from the yesteryears team that won one?
I'm gonna go for the I'm struggling. I want to go for either the Ravens have only won one. Joe Flacco only won one, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not. Oh, hang on, the New York Giants.
Yeah.
There that was going to be my Irish thing for the week. I was going to say I was going to start singing Dermot Kennedy, Giants, a second ago. It's the Giants. Yep.
Good we've song. Got the 2 Elis. We've got the Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, lovely.
So if somebody had sent a question and we'd assigned them, they'd have just won a subscription to Gridiron.
Yes, they would.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Let's play another round, Mike, before we go to listeners' questions.
This is where it gets really fun because it's not like where the Super Bowl ones are. Like, to be fair, Miami and Baltimore, I would have taken instead of Tampa Bay because they both, you know, like they've all won 2, for example. For some, like I started getting mixed up because I put Denver in the wrong place. They'd won 3. Anyway, nobody cares about that. You've won. Well done. All time passing leaders in yards, quarterbacks.
In yards. This is going to be tougher, Ollie.
It is going to be tougher at the bottom end. I think we can just rattle through the big names up top, right? Let's just go ping pong.
And I have checked this. This was correct until last week.
Wow.
And even at that, yeah, like there's like nothing could have changed last week, if that makes sense.
No one jumped into it last week. Although I did see, did you see that Patrick Mahomes threw for as many touchdown passes as Trey Aikman did in his career whilst Trey Aikman was on the call, and he did it in like 40 or like 38% of the time it took Trey Aikman's entire career of getting beat the shit.
That's insane. Bonkers. It is bonkers, isn't it?
It's been starting for 5 years.
I want you to be the leadoff hitter, Ollie. Go on.
Okay, Brady.
Mm-hmm. Number one. 85,000. Yeah. Number two.
Manning.
Yeah. Which one?
Peyton.
Okay. Okay.
Ooh, that's interesting. Should I go for the second one?
Come on now. That can't be right.
Aaron Charles Rogers.
Aaron Rodgers is 10th. So you've got one, snuck two, him in. And three, ooh, and 10th. Now, this is taken from ESPN. I can't go any better than this, lads. I thought Wikipedia would be in and out by a few weeks. The people that sit at 4 in the morning updating stuff. It's from ESPN, so it must be sweet.
That scares me because I felt pretty confident on some of the back end names. I thought I had a real good idea of who was a major outlier in the 80s and 90s who would sneak into the list. And now that Rodgers is 10th, I'm thinking I'm pretty sweet because I can't imagine they've thrown for much more yards than Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that's a problem. That's a problem. I'll do this one because I'm still confident in this one. Dan Marino.
7th. Well done.
Oh, wow. I'm pretty confident in Philip Rivers.
6th, well done.
Wow, no way. Ooh, uh-oh.
Like, you see, between 5th and 10th,
Philip Rivers
there's 10,000 public yards.
More yardage than Dan Marino.
63,440. Dan Marino, 61,361.
I was really confident in Phil Rivers, Ollie. Honestly, it's interesting that, because I was really confident in that.
Every time you go through him, look at Marino's numbers. Look at this Marino's numbers.
Like, do you find it's really impressive, though, that Philip Rivers threw for as many yards as he has children? I mean, that is just...
It's a cheap joke, but it's a good one.
What we're looking for, then, is longevity in the modern era, because my idea, these are not guesses. I'm throwing it. You know, I was going to be going Fouts. These are the people I thought would have snuck in there ahead of some of the modern era guys. Maybe, just maybe. So longevity and recent. Brady. Man. Oh, Big Ben.
Mm-hmm. 5th. So you need 4th.
Wow. 5th.
4th.
This is
8th and 9th.
These modern records are bullshit.
So we've got 3 to go. 4th, 8th, and 9th. Okay, I want to take a shot. I want to take a shot with John Elway.
11th.
Yeah.
I've lost my life.
Cruel. So who bumped John Elway out? Who was so Rogers just bumped John Elway out?
Yeah, I've lost a life, Ollie.
Boom.
Over to you.
Oh, he played till he was 100 years old. Favre.
Yep, 4th.
I cannot believe we didn't get that earlier, actually.
You need 8th and 9th.
Played for 1,000 years post 1990, or at least 96 with some of the rule changes.
I will say this. Ollie, do not overthink it.
7, 8. Do not overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
Mate, just... I'm tapped as I am.
Me too. I've got several names swimming around. Now, it would be... If we're playing this like the final round of Tenable, it would be, I can't go through, although I did it in the last round, what I'm thinking, because then that would give you ideas. That's not fair. So I have to just give an answer. But I do have several names in my mind. In my mind.
You want Michael's clue?
No, Mike. No, I don't want a clue, Mike. I want us to do this. I'm good. Because Ollie's still got a life and... Is another one. So Ollie's still got a life left. So if I get this wrong, I'm dead. Right. Okay. I'm not going to overthink it.
So let me just recap for the listeners who we have. We've got Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rogers, Marino, Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Brett Favre.
Mm.
So
can I take a really bold shout?
So we got 8.
Yeah. One of these really obscure, Mike. Just answer that question for me.
It can't. No, the top 10 pass of all time. It's not going to be someone who's obscure.
I think you'll definitely be surprised at one of them. I think you'd be pissed off, personally.
Is it a modern player who shouldn't be in amongst the list of the all-time greats?
Oh, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame or even considered as an all-time great. I think he was carried for many years, but that's a different discussion on a different podcast.
Ooh, I've got so many different names now, Ollie.
and now you'll be like, what do you mean he's not considered?
I'll tell you what,
you got to think what Mike did earlier on in this broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm going to go Eli Manning, okay?
Yeah. Eli Manning, as it stands, is ninth.
That is a horror show. That is insane.
So as it stands, I'm presuming Aaron's will be closer now. 56-295 for Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning, 57-023. So a few more weeks. Well, if Aaron Rodgers does get the ball down the field to some wide receivers at some point.
A few more seasons based on the way things are going at the moment, Mike.
Could you look up for me, Mike, the biggest game Eli Manning had?
Yeah.
I know whatever.
What was the total yardage in one game? I know we had a monstrous Monday Night Football game, but I don't remember him having successive, like, a Rodgers streak where he was just dropping 450 on everyone's head for, like, four straight weeks.
I bet you had a game where he threw for 500 yards.
He did do on a Monday night. I remember that. But, okay. So
anyway, so we've got one more
filibustering to not have to answer this one.
It's all right, but I'll filibuster while you think about it.
If Eli's in there, there was a year, I believe, when I do my reasoning, so that this is wildly wrong, people don't laugh at me when I'm supposed to be the football nerd. I believe there was a year when Matthew Stafford had about 9,000 dropbacks in Detroit because they were behind in a game. So I reckon he was behind in games for like seven straight years.
He's played for a long time.
He's got all those wild come from behind records and game winning drive records and stuff because he's in so many of those situations. I reckon Matthew Stafford is on the list.
That's a really good shout. He is 12th.
Oh, so you've lost your life now.
Boom. Dominoes. Right. I can smell the dominoes coming to the door here.
Look, two more shots at this.
I do old, modern quarterbacks. I'm gonna
confirm now. Ollie, we've got two more guesses, basically. I'm gonna change the scope of this. We're gonna confer. I've got several names, right?
Yep.
McNair.
Yeah. I don't think any of the older guys, because
McNabb,
you've got to be Marino to be on the list, or you're playing in Marino and Favre did overlap. He's the only one not in the same era as all the guys we grew up with watching.
Okay, so to get what? How many yards did Rodgers throw for, Mike?
56-295. Eli Manning was 57-023.
You'd have to.
And you're looking for the person in eighth. The guy in seventh is Dan Marino, 61-361.
It's got to be someone who's played for a long time. So I'm thinking somebody like, is it modern? Is this a modern person, Mike, or not?
Has to be.
I don't want to give it away.
No, don't. I've got names like Testaverde. Yeah. I've got other names.
No one was ever anywhere near in the region of Marino. So that's the cutoff point. And then after Marino, it's Favre. So if it's someone who's played after Favre for a long time. And so it's someone in that age cohort with Brady, Manning, Breeze, all the guys we've done the last 15 years with. It's someone in those last 15 years who's played for a long time. I don't know. Who else was
it's
in that?
It's not Carson Wentz, anyway. I'll tell you that.
This is really difficult. I'm at a loss, Ollie. So I'm just going to... So we said it's not Testaverde, McNabb, McNair.
Long enough.
Cousins.
No.
Matt Ryan.
That would make me... don't think so. That can't be, no.
Matt Ryan can't have played long enough. When did he get drafted?
He got drafted
after Rodgers, so he's been playing...
Oh, wait.
So he's potentially been playing for 12 years, about 12 years. He'd have to still throw for like 5,000 every bloody year.
Yeah,
more than Rodgers? Come on.
Not more than
Rodgers. Rodgers got drafted in 05. He started playing 04, started playing 3 years later. So he'd be playing before Matt Ryan. So it has to be someone. Is someone like Johnny Unitas? Is it something really bonkers, Ollie?
Who don't know Johnny Unitas? That would be hilarious. Just in that time period, he's thrown for 60,000 yards. God, I wish that was true.
I am at a loss, my friend. And we've still got listeners' questions to get to. We should definitely play Tenable again.
Tenable again.
Oh, Okay, I'll take a shot at Donovan McNabb.
No.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't think it was going to be right. Chase. But Ollie, it's down to you, mate.
Yeah, maybe my Marino, cutoff point. My initial heart instinct was it was Dan Fouts. And I know he didn't play long enough, but I'm going down with my heart because I love him so. I'll take Dan Fouts.
In eighth place, the quarterback that is about a week and a half away from overtaking Dan Marino is Matt Ryan.
Fuck! Oh! I knew it was Matt Ryan. I thought he's gone!
Elway 11, Stafford 12.
As a general public, I will not allow Matt Ryan to overtake Dan Marino.
Stop the count. Warren Moon, 13th. Frank Tarkenton?
Tarkenton.
Brian Tarkenton, sorry, 14th. Carson Palmer, 15th. Vinny is 16th. Drew Bledsoe, 17th. Mr. Fouts is 18th. Joe Aloysius Flacco, future Hall of Famer, is 19th. And Kerry Collins is 20th.
That is absolutely outrageous. But what a game, Ollie. I really enjoyed that.
That was fun.
That was good crack, lads. Well done. And I'll let you know my address for the Domino's in a bit.
Fair enough. I'll crowdfund that, Domino's. No worry at all. We have got to play Tenable again. Let's move on to listeners' questions. So, listeners' questions, this is really, really what we love, guys. And the Moore and Connolly football show has been going for quite a while. We had a bit of a pause and we have come back. And what we want is to build this community again and get you guys communicating with us and letting us know your questions, your thoughts, even if it's random. It doesn't have to be football related. For God's sake, it doesn't have to be to do with anything. Just send it in. mcfsquestions@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. So first of all, and we've got to start with this, Ollie, we've got a fantastic question from a longtime listener of the Moore and Connolly football show, Tristan. But it's not from Tristan. It's from his son, Jackson, who hosts the Down Under Centre podcast with Tristan. Yes, Down Under. They are from Australia. Tristan is a great guy. Jackson is fantastic. And they've sent a voice note. And so we're going to listen to this. So we encourage you to do what Jackson has done and send us a voice note. Go on, Jackson. Hit it. What's your question?
Hello, Tom and Ollie. It's me, Jackson, from the Down Under Centre podcast. I have a question for you. Who do you think are the best teams in each division?
So, Ollie, best teams in each division. Do you want to go through it?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, let's start off with the NFC North. I'm going to say the Vikings.
I'll still take the Packers.
Okay, fair enough. NFC East, Eagles?
Eagles, comfortably, yeah. Eagles, best team in the NFL, even as much as I love the Bills. Bills injuries knocks them into second for me.
NFC South?
Still Tampa. I'm not taking any of those other QBs over Brady.
I'd probably agree with that, to be quite honest. How about the NFC West?
Ooh, that's the tricky one. I say that the Niners are more of a freight train than the rest. So yeah, I'm probably overthinking it a little bit. I just still in the back of my head, I'm like, God, am I going to write the Rams off that quickly? They're always high variance, always up and down. They always seem to have a 3-week run where they seem like it's going to fall apart and they're out of it, particularly obviously since Stafford got there. But still, yeah, I'll take the Niners.
Okay, fantastic. Let's move over to the AFC, starting with the North. Ollie, you got to be the Ravens.
Ravens, Super Bowl picks, my preseason Super Bowl picks. Feeling pretty okay, comfortable-ish with that right now. Some real issues defensively, issues on the back end, issues that could get exposed this weekend and make me look very silly as they play the pretty bad New York Giants who keep winning football games. So, but I still think the Ravens are the class of the North.
I feel like in there he tried to discredit himself, but actually complimented himself during that statement. AFC East?
The Bills. Bills, yeah. Freight train.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Sorry, the Bills. AFC South?
Oh, God.
Jags. I'm going Jags, baby.
I also think it's the Jags. I think they have the by far the best single unit in the division, which is the defense, and specifically the defensive front is out of its mind good. And so, yeah, I'll take the Jags, by a hair.
My next door neighbor, Luke, will love that. He's a Jags fan. Duval! And how about the AFC West?
Chiefs pretty comfortably. You know, it's frustrating. The Chargers should be a better football team. It feels like we say that every year. And I know they've had all the bad injury luck in the world, but there are still some pretty fundamental stuff. Obviously, they're under fence. It's like at some point, guys, you got to get that shit figured out. No one else, I think. The Chiefs are the only team in that division that don't have a complete sinkhole somewhere on their roster that I was not expecting before the season. Chiefs secondary isn't as strong as you would like it to be, and they lost the rookie Trent McDuffie this week, which is a huge hammer blow, but it's actually not been as bad as you would have anticipated coming into the season had you been told that McDuffie would be out. So the Chiefs are actually better than I thought they would be, and I already thought they'd be one of the five best teams in the NFL. So yeah, I have them neck and neck with the Bills at the very top of the conference.
Love it. Thank you, Jackson, for the question. And make sure you tune into the Down the Center podcast. I know I've retweeted one of their podcast feeds at @_Tommy_Moore. Moving on to Ollie Inwards, who says, love having MCFS back and Stereo Mike. The Beanie Baby is a great addition. I added in the Beanie Baby bit. What average did you end up with for the season, Tom? I'm a mediocre opening batsman. 35, which wasn't bad. I got out on 99. In one innings this year, the winner of the batting award in our team this year had an average of 52. But I am going to present the award to him because I won it last year on Saturday, actually, this week. And I'm going to make the point that opening the batting is far harder than coming in and batting against the dross at number five in the middle of the order. Ollie also asks, do we have to blame you for the pound falling after seeing you were in Whitehall? Yes, I was in Whitehall. It's got nothing to do with me. And then finally, what classic British TV show would you like to see back on TV? I've recently come across Original Wife Swap. Oh my God, that was a great show. That was fantastic. A truly smashing concept. And despite some, let's say, problematic issues with some of the families, it's fantastic fun. Can you remember Wife Swap?
I can remember Wife Swap. I remember that it being the finest television product ever produced that should never have been allowed on air, I think. It's one of those ones. I'm a big fan at the moment of Married at First Sight. It's my... Okay. Big guilty pleasure, particularly. I don't like the UK one very much because everyone there is just an actor or model trying to get some Instagram time. The Australian one is amazing because they just find these guys from the outback who do not have Instagram. And so it's all timer. So Wife Swap had that kind of similar element to it. So it was the OG.
Do not have Instagram. They don't have running water. Mike, the Beanie Baby, you've got a good one.
The Beanie Baby. I think you'd have to look between Father Ted and potentially, like, if you're talking about British television shows, the IT Crowd was a personal favorite of mine.
They were both
0118-919-88999.
You would never want to bring those back, right? Because that's the problem with any kind of remake. What you got to do is find a good concept and replicate it. That if we're doing scripted show, that I think they could have always done more with. I always believe this. Do you remember Worst Week of My Life?
Mm-hmm.
It was a decent, okay-ish sitcom, right? But the concept, you could do 50,000 Netflix series, all original screenplays of it being someone's worst week, Freshers Week, Wedding Week, on and on and on and on. They should bring back Worst Week of My Life.
That's a good call. And yeah, I agree with you. Father Ted was all time. It's up there, right? So as is the IT Crowd. But yeah, you kind of, it's like those, The Office, it's like a time capsule, isn't it? You want to leave it as it was and you don't interrupt it. In terms of what I would like to see come back, a show which I absolutely loved was Harry Hill's TV Burp. Because yes, because it's all new stuff because it's based on what was on the TV this week. I was so sad when that finished. And the really heartbreaking thing about Harry Hill's TV Burp fight is that because of the fact that it took clips from TV shows all over the bloody place, there were some DVDs, but they were limited. But there's no, because the rights are so hard to get, there's no regurgitation of that. And you can't, so it's almost something that's been just completely lost to history, which is so sad because it was brilliant. Anyway, so we've got another question.
Wife Swap was insane. I'm sorry, Wife Swap.
Ice swap was great.
You have to explain that concept to people, do you think, that are younger than us?
Ice swap is basically they took two couples from completely different socioeconomic backgrounds and switched the wives over. So there was a wife whose husband was quite industrious and they raised the kids together and they, you know, shared all responsibilities in the house. And then there was another family where it was like almost like an 1800s family. And the dad didn't do anything with the kids at all. He just went out to work and came back and smoked his pipe and read a paper. And then you expected them to kind of live in the same way. And the wives would spend some days getting used to it. And then essentially at the end of the week go, right, now you have to do this. And, oh, it was agony and fantastic.
The point of the show was to be, aren't I so lucky? Actually, the grass isn't greener. That was kind of the intent. And 100%. Often you would find, no, they very much prefer living a life of luxury now.
Indeed. So finally, questions this week come in from Dan Yale, another long-time listener. We appreciate you, Dan, and even more so the fact that you're named after a key manufacturer. So if you can book your own music festival and take any three or five, I'll let you decide, acts, alive or dead, let's say one for the sake of this, because you've added quite a few questions here, Dan, who are you going for? What one act, Ollie?
Well, one act all time would be the Beatles. That's my my passion and obsession. So it'd be them. I will do a modern one also for the young crowd of the new music listeners. Juan, do you know Wet Leg? Are you up on your new music? Do you like Wet Leg?
I don't like a Wet Leg. Obviously, it means I've stepped in something. Who are Wet Leg?
Wet Leg is a band from the Isle of Man, I believe, and it's two not quite twins, but they dressed like the Amish. It's very, very cool music. Guitar music, Tom, you're looking at me like I'm a crazy person. It's two girls who dress like the Amish with a backing band, basically, and they play cool, funky beats.
Ollie, that's my default look at you. I'm going to come at Mike for this as well, because I'll be interested in his opinion. But I'd say if you're going classic and then a modern one, I'd go Bowie. I definitely want Bowie there. And in terms of modern one, it's a bit more tricky. But you know what? Maybe I'd lay down some Eminem. I mean, it's classic, you know, maybe throw that in there. Mike, have you got one for us, a couple for us?
DJ Sammy, Heaven. And I love how you're laughing and Ollie's talking about Alice stuff. I mean, it sounds great, but...
I can't picture Tom Moore at a festival. Were you ever a festival person?
No, come on, Ollie, look at me. No way, son.
I think we should all go to Glastonbury. I've never been to Glastonbury. I don't even know where that is in England, but I think we should all go next year and we should do like a podcast from there, like a pre-season... piss up.
That sounds like... if you pay for my ticket in a glamping location in a proper caravan, I will go, Mike. If not, you can swivel, my friend.
If you can get me the ticket, I'll pay for it.
What? That's a bizarre deal. I like it. Have you got a classic downside for you? Have you got a classic band you'd want to take, Mike?
I don't really think it's classic because it's not that. I mean, like, I was big in the Muse like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not really classic for me, I guess. So I love Springsteen. He's coming to Ireland next year, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. But that's pretty much where my music stops. I'm not really into it anymore. Ever since they got rid of the iPod video, it's been a hard time.
Well,
yeah. I'd take the boss, though. I think that's a great one. Dan has also asked, what's your favorite conspiracy theory? Dan, I've got to level with you, my friend. I'm not really a conspiracy person. I am a bit of an Occam's razor believer in terms of the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. Ollie, you got anything for us on that?
I'm not into any conspiracies like you. I'm a conspiracy skeptic. I do find some conspiracies funny, though. Going back to my love of the Beatles, you know the Paul McCartney is dead conspiracy?
Okay, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy that he died in like the 60s and then they got a lookalike in to replace him, and there's all this iconography about how they're walking on the crossing on Abbey Road album cover, that the one of the license plates says Paul is dead. When you play some of the records backwards, it says something. Now, this is obviously bullshit. The funny part is the how long that new gentleman would have to sustain that for, because that would have mean the real one died at like 26 and this guy is now headlining Glastonbury in his 80s. It's like, at what point is he allowed to not have to fake being Paul McCartney anymore?
That seems like a long sentence for a conspiracy theory. Let's keep this moving. What is the best book you've read in the last year or two? Ollie, I don't read books. I don't have time with two kids.
All I do when I get any spare time is read books. I've read tons. I read the entire Robert Caro Lyndon Johnson biography series. Those are extraordinary works of journalism and nonfiction. I only read nonfiction, really, so I'm not exactly the best person to go through for this, because that nonfiction is about what you're interested in. I did enjoy For Every Human Alive Should Probably Read the latest Michael Lewis book, The Premonition, which is his the guy who did The Big Short, Moneyball, that kind of stuff. His pandemic book. I would recommend that for everyone.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Next question, definitely going to come to Mike on this one as well. What would you pick as your death row meal if you can have anything in the world? Wow, that's a great question. I'd go with a caprese salad followed by a bacon barbecue cheeseburger and then some sticky toffee pudding. Easy, Ollie. I've been asked this question too often. What's your pick?
I have a kind of strange answer for this, because I make this delicious pasta bake that is basically stuffed shells pasta bake that almost takes on a lasagna-y form, because I'm using a 3G situation, and I'm putting some chorizo in there. Unusual in an Italian dish, obviously, but it really brings some kick to it. What is odd is I wouldn't trust anyone else to make that.
100%.
I know I'm the best in the world at making that. That's my thing. I can make that better than anyone alive. I don't care who you are. I can make that dish. And I would very much like the pleasure of my last row meal being the cooking part. That's the part I enjoy. I do enjoy eating it, but I'm not as fussed. I enjoy the art of the cooking of it. So if they allowed me to cook that dish, that is what I would do.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Have you got any for us, Mike?
Plum kilty black pudding.
Oh, tell us about that.
It's the stuff of the gods, gentlemen. It's unbelievable. I genuinely felt homesick last Sunday. I wanted to go home and get something proper into me dinner-wise. Can we have that discussion about the food and the...
Was it bad?
I'm a guy with my own home comforts. I don't know. I just feel like I get, you know, as I get older. I do have a very quick conspiracy theory, though. Dez caught it.
Yeah, that is true. And a weird one, because why would they not want the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl? Always found that strange.
My wife often wants to get home and get something into her, but not in the way that I would wish. Ollie, let's finalize this with a final question, which is, you can take a 2-week holiday anywhere in the world, a 2-week holiday. Where are you going?
By day 3 of me being off work, I am scratching the walls. And like I said, I can sit and read a book for 12 hours straight, but if it's like forced fun holiday time, I'm in big trouble. I mean, I've traveled basically ever.
Don't David Brent me. I've traveled, boy. Where to? Hull?
I have. You'll remember. I took 3 months off from work and just went and traveled everywhere all over the world. So I've done all the fun places I would want to. The only one I didn't go to because of how far away it is New Zealand. But 2 weeks does seem like a long time to be in New Zealand. I'll say New Zealand just for fun.
You'd have to like cricket and rugby and stuff like that, I think, to and make it a trip related to that. I want to go. Well, 2 weeks is tricky, because 2 weeks is actually, you'd need a shitload of stuff to explore, which is actually, to find a place like that is quite difficult, or it would just be somewhere where you're happy to lie on a beach just forever. So to be quite honest, I would probably say, and this is going to sound really lame, Cornwall. If I go down to Newquay in the winter and just enjoy the wind and the nice meals in the restaurant and just sitting and relaxing, that'd be not great.
Because you originally had a face of like, you were going to say it's more trouble than it's worth, which is when I know you were.
Forget it. Forget it. I live in Nottingham. I'll pop out to Melton Mowbray for a while. Mike, have you got anything for us?
I was going to joke and say Nottingham and Salford, but you just said Nottingham, so...
Yeah, you don't want to come to Nottingham.
Honestly, man, like Galway or something. Somewhere to go. Somewhere. Donegal. Somewhere nice.
Donegal.
Turn the phone off. Donegal, hi. Yeah,
so you could be our Galway boy, as Ed Sheeran kind of said.
It sounds like a podcast.
If I went somewhere far flung for 2 weeks, there would be a real danger of not coming back. Because I would really like to go to Japan and really embrace it and feel what's going on there. If I did 2 weeks in Japan and enjoyed it, because they have such a different lifestyle to us and you just fell in love with it, I'd be like, you know what? There's no need to return.
Japan is a fantastic shout.
The first month of the off-season is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. I love it. You know what? It's been a great show. I've loved sharing this time with Ollie and Mike, as I usually do. It's been a pleasure. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Please, please get in touch with us. As we said, Ollie's going to be giving away a subscription next week, provided that we win the game show that we play. Make sure you hit us up with your questions at mcfsquestions@gmail.com. Remember, you can find us on Twitter all over the place. You've got at Ollie Connolly, at @V_Tommy_Moore. You've got at @Michael_NFL. You've got at @Gridiron. You've got all that good stuff. But the most important thing is that you enjoy the NFL games this weekend, and you come down on Aaron Rodgers like a ton of bricks when he mails it in one more time. So for now, it's goodbye from the Beanie Baby.
Goodbye.
He's going to kill me for that after the show. It's goodbye from Ollie Connolly.
Goodbye.
That's the Godfather. He's going to shoot me as well. And it's goodbye from me. Have yourself a great weekend.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.